at 2743. 2743?
Yeah.
Is that the last one you
missed? Are we just rambling through this?
That one in any
order. Oh, okay. 2743 is in the, which color?
Black book.
That seems like.
There is an engrossed version of the bill. And this is another of the bills that we heard last night.
Number 2743. Now, again, I don't recall who among the five other four members were here when we heard this yesterday, but the question I raised, which is really not on the merits of the bill, but you'll notice the relating clause. And the bill in its initial form would take care of the medical expenses, impose those expenses upon the jurisdiction, which had authority over the prisoner. And the House amendment has to do with medical expenses of prisoners in the custody of police agencies, but not in a correctional facility. I remember, while being lawfully transported. The argument was made that there are sometimes people become injured or ill while they're in transit, like on extradition.
Mm-hmm.
And Senator Fadley, I thought maybe you might have a comment on whether the relating clause was a problem on that amendment there.
Well, they amended the relating clause, is what they did.
For instance, the city is liable for cost of the prisoner held in a county facility.
Well, that's what the main bill does.
Yeah.
There is no legal objection to amending the relating clause. The House has, right. House has some non-legal historical druthers about this sort of matter, but it's, druthers are much more weight than feathers.
Yes, druthers and feathers. I understand that the relating clause can be amended. I'm just not.
No.
But that requires it then to go back again to the other side, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And how do you feel about the merits of the bill? Senator Cohen, have you had a chance to look at that?
Who's offering the amendments?
You remember?
Is there?
No, I don't.
Help me out. Anybody?
I believe it was the Association of Oregon Counties, but I'm not certain.
Yes.
I
think it was. Yes, come think about it. I think it was Paul Snyder that testified on
that.
Okay. Yeah.
I
don't have any problem with
Bill. I don't either.
Senator Rockland?
No, apparently not.
It's the problem arises because city prisoners oftentimes are confined in a county jail, and the county jail turns out to be responsible for medical expenses, and the counties don't like that too well. They want to take care of their own prisoners, but not the cities.
Well, these amendments came from the Oregon counties?
Yeah, the amendments, the typewritten amendments that you find are the Association of Oregon Counties. The original bill, of course, is just from the Chief County Board of Commissioners.
Well, we just had one where somebody was sent to somebody else's jail. They had the person for whom they were housing the prisoner had to pick up the tab for it.
Yeah. Well, Paul, this was the amendment to 2743 was the Association of Oregon Counties, wasn't it? That's the medical expenses transporting prisoners?
Yes, Mr. Chair, it was.
Well, what do we want to do about this relating clause?
Well... Is it really different? I guess it's cost.
Well, maybe it's not.
I mean, it's...
The...
The body of the bill talks about medical care costs to institutions, to the facilities, and we just, I don't understand what the difference would be.
Well, the main bill relates to medical expenses incurred while a person's incarcerated.
Right.
And the amendments relate to medical expenses incurred while being transported.
It's to and from incarceration, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's broad enough.
Suppose there's a car wreck while they're carrying...
That's the idea.
Oh, I see it says correctional facilities. I see why you ought to deal with it.
But again, it's in relation to their incarceration on their way to...
Chairman, I would, if we, I see why there's a problem with the relating cause, because it talks about facilities.
Yes.
And if they're not in facilities, then you got to do, even though the subject matter is directly related.
Yes. So I...
Move it, I mean, I'd go ahead and move it out.
Come on, Paul, what?
Mr. Chair, Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties. The sense was that the transportation that occurs is usually either to a facility or from a facility or both. That's the tie-in, but the main thrust of the bill all had to do with medical costs, generally.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's true. I don't have any disagreement with it, but I was concerned about relating to local correctional facilities as not being broad enough to encompass your amendment. But I'll defer to the veterans around here. You think it's all right, Senator Cohen?
Well, I think it's all right to send it out with or without, and depending on how the House...
If it creates any new provisions in the amendment, I would want you to put in the title, creating new provisions.
It's there.
It's fine.
That means amending the title, so you can amend it any way you want it, because you're already amending it.
All right. So all you have to do is to amend the title is to use the phrase creating new provisions. No?
Relating to arrested persons, relating to medical expenses, relating to...
Well, okay,
Mr. Chairman, I'm happy with the way it's been hand engrossed here.
Yeah, that didn't bother me.
And I think it's fine.
All right.
Unless someone else wants to... Well, but I think it still creates new provisions.
I don't think that would be a serious thing.
Now, there wasn't...
See, there's not the House.
Okay.
It's being offered by Paul Snyder.
Senator Cohen, you want...
2743 in the hand engrossed. I move it as hand engrossed.
All right, Senator Cohen.
To the floor with a due pass recommendation.
House Bill 2743.
Including the amendment, that we amend it as it's hand engrossed.
As hand engrossed, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion on this?
That, I think, is the House, excuse me, the amendment the House has already passed.
That's true.
Yes.
I didn't need to say all that.
Okay.
Then why are we, is Paul Snyder wanting more additional?
No. This is the way the bill came to this committee. I was the one that raised the question as to whether they had done it right or wrong over there.
Oh, okay.
See, this is what we've got now. If we want to change anything.
I'd move it, unless I hear anything different from anybody, that we move it to the floor with a due pass recommendation unamended as it came to us from the House.
That's the way the motion reads now. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
What? Senator Feely's giving it.
I finally figured out the simplicity relating to corrections.
That would have brought it down.
Why don't we just go ahead and amend the title?
It has got to go back.
Bill, I don't think it's a defect that will bother the significant.
All right.
Go ahead.
Brockman?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Bailey? Hamby? Hendrickson? Simmons?
Aye.
Wires?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye.
That carries. Then,
2795.
27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27. 27 House Bill 2743.
No, 2795.
2795, yes, we just took out 2743. 2795.
House Bill 2795 addresses the problem of...
That's in the blue book.
Yeah, in the blue book, excuse me. The Andros version. Addresses the problem of people ripping off the cable TV companies primarily. It does a number of things. It creates a new crime of unlawful distribution of cable television equipment. Also creates a crime of tampering with cable TV equipment. And provides for civil actions. And I quite honestly don't remember the testimony.
Well, we had testimony from a representative of the cable television industry from Salem. I recall that one witness. And in any event, there was considerable testimony about the fact, completely colored pictures about the tapping into cable systems by people who have not paid for it. They've got fancy little electronic boxes, things like that. It occurs to me that this is needed legislation, and I'd recommend that it be passed. This might have been one I heard by myself, so it may seem strange. The rest of you.
Do you make a motion?
Yes, Senator Simmons.
I would move we pass House Bill 2795 to the floor with the recommendation to pass.
Senator Simmons moves House Bill 2795 A and Gross to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I want to give you a minute to look at this now.
No, I know what it is. Even though I wasn't at the hearing, I do. I've looked at it. Okay. Unless there was any amendments, I don't have any problem.
No.
Does the staff analysis indicate how this might differ from a more general category? Is there anything new in this? More general category means are there fewer elements than there is in theft of services?
It applies to other communication services, I believe, as well as cable, telephone, computers.
Computers also applies to the distribution of television cable equipment.
Primarily brings the theft of communication services within the theft of services statute that we already have.
Okay. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Brockman?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Holland?
Aye.
Bailey?
Aye.
Hamby? Hendrickson? Simmons?
Aye.
Wires?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye.
That motion carries.
How much?
Let's, before you leave now, what bill was it that we had a problem with earlier on? It was the bill on the, what was the bill number?
Let's see, some of the Class C felon.
We only got four votes.
That bill we just passed, Mr. Chairman, it's going to be, one of them will be read back to us someday by the Corrections Division as another claim we placed on their limited facilities.
We
had more time. I guess it might have been nice to think about doing it all civilly.
They can only stick them in the county jail. So the Corrections Division doesn't care.
Well, I think Class C felon.
The Class C's are the computer access, computer
system. Oh, it's computer computer?
Sometimes extremely valuable.
Well, it's just too bad the counties were here fussing, man. They're going to have to learn.
I just wanted to advise the rest of the committee members who weren't here earlier. What number was it?
2126.
House Bill 2126, which we heard yesterday, is the bill that
to the blue book, the black book?
2126 was up before the committee earlier today, and I just want to advise the committee members that the vote was 4-1, 4-2 to send the bill out. And I just want to let people know, because if anybody wants to work on it further, there were only six of us here at the time, and I just want you to know where it is now. So that's...
I'm willing to move it if you want, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I want to make sure now that we don't... I know that Senator Hendrickson voted against it, and so I assume she'd vote against it again. And Senator Fadley had some questions about it. And I'm willing to reconsider it if the other members here should be.
Toward the end, I began to think there might be an opportunity to allow the judicial branch to have some supervisory look at a pattern of excessive sentencing by a judge. That would take some additional language. I wasn't as bothered by the bill, but I was bothered by the proposition without the current statute. If we amend the statute to get rid of the current statute, that there wasn't any way to come at Judge Roy Bean giving them all the max every time.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Well, I'm not sure the statute, this place is the place to get at that. I think we've got to talk about some general sentencing guidelines that hopefully the Supreme Court justice will be looking at, that's going to be tracking people's individual records on these kind of things. So I'm not sure that this particular statute is where we get at that in the most efficient, effective way. So I'm still, I don't know where you...
Senator Wires, do you have any thoughts?
I favor this bill. Heard about it from other sessions, heard more about this session down Ways and Means. I think we're probably wasting state funds having court clerks reviewing sentences that are not being ever overturned.
It sounds like you have plenty of votes. Go ahead.
Yes, I guess that's true. I mean, it's really kind of immaterial to me, but if somebody wants to take another crack at
it. Would it be in order to move to reconsider?
Well, I don't know procedurally where we are. The four votes outnumbered the two, but they didn't prevail on the motion either.
I won't object to taking a similar motion.
All right.
You want me to move it?
There's no objection to reconsidering House Bill 2126 then, and it's so ordered. And Senator Cohen moves...
Can we resolve this problem?
Yes. And Senator Cohen moves House Bill 2126 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And any discussion? Call the roll on that, please.
Brockman?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Fazer?
No.
Hamby? Hendrickson? Simmons?
Aye.
Wires?
Aye.
Fry?
Aye. That carries. Thank you for your courtesies on that. Now we'll have a change in shifts up here.
Was that one of yours?
No. Most money you save on judges' time, you'll end up saving them in jail.
That's the reason. Isn't it?
To do the sentencing, we're going to have to deal with that whole thing. That's front and line.
Yeah.
So you want to start off with them?
We can take them in order.
No, whatever. That's what I'm concerned about.
Right, I'm talking about the judge. That's what I'm talking about, too, in terms of sentencing guidelines. You begin to say, hey, Jack, you're just...
Yeah, but then who is the one that says, Jack, you're out of line?
Justice.
We're not going to get through that, man. I want to make sure.
Well, that's what I want.
I don't think we can do the law here. I agree with you.
Well, no, he said they didn't really have any mechanism at the end of the judicial fitness branch would be the only to come at it, but it wouldn't be an example of judicial unfitness unless it was done directly.
We're trying to do a little unsettling.
Yeah, if it represents senility and the guy says, well, I read the statute, the max is 20 years, therefore you get 20 years.
Okay.
Judicial fitness group is timid, partly because they never take one.
Parole board is, no, they don't go back to the judge. Not the way, no, no.
What do they do, withhold their salary increase when you find their...
They have the power to adjust.
Now, the keepers can't talk to the inmates now for a while.
Are you ready? If you were, if...
I'm tapping over here.
If you're ready to go on the next bill, just...
Let's go. Now, what we're going to do here is, we have a floor session at 5, and it's my experience that, especially since all of us on this committee have the number of things to carry generally, it's almost a sure bet that we're not going to get very much done after 5 o'clock. So there are going to be some of these bills that will be carried over till tomorrow. And I don't know how far we'll get, but I'll tell you what the order here is. We're going to take 2205 first, and then 2222, 2257, 2258.
Right here.
2256, 2090, 2334, 2361, 2649, 2461.
Here.
2359, 2007. 2685 and 2958. Now that's 14 bills.
You can do that now in 15 minutes.
And so you lucky folks that are down there toward the tail end may have to come back tomorrow, but don't despair. We'll do our best. Okay, we're now going with 2205.
If I might.
Counsel?
2205 is a House bill that changes certain appellate procedures. It makes permissive rather than mandatory for the chief judge to preside when sitting in one of the departments of the appellate court. It clarifies when notice of appeal must be filed. It clarifies the procedure for amending the record on appeal and requires notice of appeal to have the signature of the appellate attorney. It extends, it modifies the number of days for several things changes them from 10 to 14 days. It establishes requirements relating to notice of appeal, which requirements relating to our notice of appeal are jurisdictional. And this is something that the committee took up in another bill earlier this session, you may remember. It allows the trial court to cure certain problems of a judgment that's been appealed without affecting the appellate court jurisdiction. It clarifies when appellate court jurisdiction ends. It removes provisions that allow a trial court to dismiss an appeal. It provides that an appellate court dismissal affirms the lower court provision. It clarifies when an appellate judgment takes effect. It clarifies the allowance of costs and disbursements on appeals. It specifies certain cases where a filing fee is not required on appeal. It repeals certain sections that have that are in conflict with that. The Oregon State Bar Practice and Procedure Committee has presented proposed amendments. They disagree with the provisions in the bill that establish which elements of the
notice of appeal are jurisdictional, and they're proposing alternative elements. You'll see those amendments dated 6585 by the Oregon State Bar Practice and Procedure Committee. And there are, this bill does need conflicts, too, and legislative council is drafting those for the committee.
Is that what we have here with 2205-5?
Yep. That's it.
Now, 2205-5 are what, the bar amendments with a conflict?
No, no. These are just conflict amendments to correct conflicts with other, substantive conflicts with other bills. And the bar amendments are those dated 6585 that are behind the staff measure analysis. In the bill, it provides on page 3 that service of notice on all parties identified in the notice of appeal as adverse parties, or if the notice of appeal does not identify adverse parties, on all parties who have appeared in the action, suit, or proceeding as provided in ORS 19023, subsection 2, paragraph A, within the time limits described, and filing of the original notice of appeal with the Court of Appeals. The bar amendments would limit that to just the filing of the original notice of appeal within the time limits prescribed with the Court of Appeal, containing those items described in 119.029.1A, and I'm looking for that, and that is the title to the cause, and B, the names of the parties and their attorneys. So all the bar wants is the filing of the notice of appeal and the item and the title of the cause and the names of the parties and their attorneys. They feel those are all that should be jurisdictional.
Judge Joseph, have you seen these proposed bar amendments?
Yes, I have, Mr. Chairman.
What's the position of the judicial branch that sponsored the original bill?
Subject to Mr. Nass correcting me in detail, we oppose them. We do not think they improve the status of the bill.
All right.
Improve the status of the problems we're dealing with.
The thing that I've struck me about the bar amendments, it doesn't put any time limit on when you have to serve the other side. I just kind of wondered what they had in mind on that.
That's not a problem I particularly looked at, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Come on.
Senator Brian, Mark Comstock, member of the Practice.
Yes, today. Sit down there.
When Dean Merrill drafted these amendments, we tried to get rid of a specific problem, which was the jurisdictional dismissals when someone wasn't served. He believed that it would be a subject to a motion to dismiss, but not jurisdictional if someone was served beyond the 30-day time period on the notice of appeal. It does not contemplate having to be served within that 30-day time period.
Okay, but now the way I understand this bill, you've got A versus X, Y, and Z in the original parties in the case, but actually X is the only person that would be affected by an appeal, and so you just serve X. Under present practice, I guess you might be out of court because you didn't serve Y and Z, but under the bill, if you're not seeking relief on appeal against Y and Z, you don't have to serve them. Now, is my understanding correct, gentlemen? All right, that's true. Now, the bar is, well, on that point, I don't suppose you'd have any quarrel with that, do you?
No quarrel with that at all.
Well, do you have any quarrel with what's in the bill as distinguished from wanting to add more to it?
The only quarrel we have is requiring service as a jurisdictional element.
Yeah. Well, give me an example of...
Yeah, I knew.
And it seems to me if you want to file an appeal, you'd want to serve the notice of appeal on the party that you're seeking relief against on appeal. So why wouldn't you have to serve the party?
You would serve the party, but it would not be something that the Court of Appeals would be required to dismiss.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't imagine, well, I guess I can imagine about anything, but it seems to me if a lawyer is going to take an appeal, I can't imagine a lawyer that wouldn't serve the party against whom he wants to get relief in the appellate court. Maybe that happens, but...
I can't imagine it either, but we're looking here at an office-type screw-up. Yep.
Senator Cohen?
Whoops. I know we do a lot of helping the bar with their office-type screw-ups, and we sit here and we make lots of amendments, lots of laws with the justification that we're just helping those poor forgetful lawyers. And we need to adjust things one way or another because they can't figure out whether the judgments are run out in 5 years or 2 years, and we make... So I guess I'm just ready to pass the bill out as it is.
Yeah, all right. You want to say anything else?
Been shot down quite a bit. We're just trying to give the court a little bit more leeway and not being compelled to dismiss.
You'd have to admit that this bill does go a long way toward resolving what has been a pretty bad problem.
That's correct. Okay. We would agree that it